Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. I came out in the 11th grade. Nobody was embracing you. The kids were cruel. It was very difficult to be gay. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
The hard part was determining that I was gonna do it, but I definitely didn't do it alone.
At age 30, with the help of her mentor, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
I have a mentor, Maria. She convinced me to continue my education and to finish what I started to get my diploma. Just never judges. She's a true role model. If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, go get it. You can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, "Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out."
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey sis, missed you this morning.
Kim told me you weren't feeling well, so I'm just doing a self-care check.
Ah, thank you, friend.
How you doing?
Girl, listen, my energy was so low because I didn't eat breakfast when I got up, so I had to miss virtual yoga with y'all.
Trust me, I understand.
But I'm doing much better now that I've eaten, so I'm back on track.
Great. In that case, let's get some steps in tonight. I'll come over and we can walk around the lake.
Sounds good. Appreciate you being in my business, too. Now, let me get in yours. Did you check your blood pressure today?
I did that and my squats, okay?
Okay.
High blood pressure is not going to be my friend if I can help it. See you at 6?
Let's get it. See you then.
Now more than ever, it's important that we protect our hearts and the hearts of those we love. Check in on one another and be a part of a healthy blood pressure movement. Rally Your Squad to take the online pledge at releasethepressure.org. Brought to you by the Release the Pressure Coalition and the Ad Council.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you. You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
And a wolf?
Oh, a wolf.
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Owl. Dolphin? What does the turkey say? Whale.
Whale sound.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us. Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's a live new Dom Thursday. How you doing, little buddy?
I am awesome, Crudy. Happy Friday Eve to you. Evan on the board, our fair audience. A glorious day indeed.
Dominic, I understand. We've got a fine guest coming in the happier happy hour. He'll probably wear a suit. James Santel joins us at 5 Central Time.
Yeah.
And tomorrow, Dominic, we've got a fine guest. You've done some work this week.
Yeah.
U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin joining us at 4:30 tomorrow in no small part to celebrate perhaps her largest legislative achievement since she has joined the U.S. Senate. Dom, the Same-Sex Marriage Act, I guess, is passed the House of Representatives.
The Respect for Marriage Act, yes.
Thank you for correcting the record. I knew I was misdescribing it. Perhaps a little surprising, Dom got a couple of Republican votes from the congressional contingent from the great state of Wisconsin.
All right, we'll take it. We'll take it.
Let me define what a couple of votes are, Dom. Journal Sentinel reporting Wisconsin Republicans, U.S. Rep. Mike Gallagher and Brian Stile joined House Republicans on Thursday in voting to codify same-sex marriage protections into law, breaking with the state's three other GOP congressmen. And of course, Van Orden from the third has not yet been seated, Dom. But knowing how he hates the young LGBTQ people, I can't imagine he'd have been all down for the same-sex marriage.
Oh, man, he's harassing a 17-year-old volunteer at the local library for having, what, a specific table of books that he took issue with. So he came back and checked them all out in a huff. Yeah, that guy, I doubt he would vote yes on this.
So I would remind the listeners from here in this great state, Dom, despite the fact that we've got a Democratic governor in this fact, what, top of the ticket, Ron Johnson barely beat Mandela Barnes, 27,000 votes. Yet our congressional districts favor Republicans 6-2 in a coin flip state. 6-2. Very effective gerrymander that happened here in the great state of Wisconsin.
Oh, indeed.
But anyways, let's get back to the vote. Today's vote. The legislation, which also codifies interracial marriage protections, that's where they lost Glenn Grothman, I suspect, passed the House on a 258-169 vote after moving through the Senate last week with bipartisan support. Now 39 Republicans voted for the Respect for Marriage Act today, down from the 47 who supported the measure when it initially passed the House in July. The bill now heads to President Joe Biden's desk, of course, for a signature to make it a law. We all watched the Schoolhouse Rock growing up. Just a bill till the president signs it.
Yeah, I don't remember the super PACs being described or the money flowing around. Really, SNL did a wonderful version of that.
We got a modern day update. Gallagher previously opposed the bill during the summer vote, claiming he had concerns the bill would allow for polygamy.
Oh, no!
Dominic, a bipartisan group of senators led by Wisconsin Democrat Tammy Baldwin, amended the measure to address that issue, as well as broader GOP concerns over religious freedom protections. In a statement after the vote, Gallagher said the amended version of the bill addressed his concerns over polygamy, and here's a quote, create strong religious liberty protections for religious organizations. He said the bill moves the issue of marriage to the states while ensuring decisions made in one state are honored in another. The Supreme Court found, again a quote, the Supreme Court found there was a constitutional right to same-sex marriage in 2015. And while the possibility of a decision being issued is extremely low, that's not an excuse for Congress to ignore the issue, Gallagher said, referencing Obergefell versus Hodges, ruling that made same-sex marriage legal across the country, till Clarence Thomas gets his shot at it. Again, a quote, it is far better for Congress to pass legislation that protects religious organizations and provides stability to millions of people in same-sex marriage than to rely on federal judges to make these decisions. The Respect for Marriage Act would require states to recognize marriages that are considered valid in the state where they were performed, but would not mandate states to allow same-sex couples to marry during the 2015 Obergefell decision, should it be overturned. It would also repeal the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act, which defines marriage as between a man and a woman, and allow states to not recognize same-sex marriages from other states.
Crudy, Democrats had put a priority on passing the legislation in the wake of the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade, the decision guaranteeing abortion rights, after which Justice Clarence Thomas said the court should reconsider its previous due process precedents, including the Obergefell decision. Stiles' vote on Thursday was in line with his July vote when he was the only Wisconsin Republican to support the measure. Wisconsin Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany, Glenn Grothman, and Scott Fitzgerald voted against the Respect for Marriage Act, and Wisconsin U.S. Senator Ron Johnson opposed it last week. It really just maintains the status quo, Stile told WISN-TV earlier this week. This is the political bickering, I think, that people are so frustrated with. This is the home stretch of one-party Democratic control, but ultimately it doesn't alter state law and just maintains the status quo. Baldwin, a Madison Democrat, has led the push to pass the Respect for Marriage Act. She praised the House passage of the bill on Thursday, quote, this is an important and historic step forward in ensuring dignity and respect for all Americans, Baldwin said in a joint statement with Arizona Democratic U.S. Senator Kyrsten Sinema and Republicans Susan Collins of Maine, Rob Portman of Ohio, and Tom Tillis of North Carolina.
It doesn't surprise me, but it does bother me that Tiffany, Grothman, Fitzgerald, and of course U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, all opposed to this marriage equality. And Ron had, you know, had made earlier implications that he might be down for this. And then he claimed, you know, he just wanted to let the pressure off because people were asking him tough questions, right?
So just leave me alone. Well, I wonder. I'm looking at the picture of the Journal Sentinel, Brian Stile, Mike Gallagher. Younger dudes, man. I mean, these guys are younger than us. And I imagine Fitzgerald, Tiffany, right? These cats and, of course, Ron Johnson. They're all older. So I think there is some of that in this vote. And so, again, congratulations. Our guest tomorrow, Senator Tammy Baldwin from the great state of Wisconsin, just keeps getting the job done. But, you know me and the religious side of this. This Respect for Marriage Act also codifies interracial marriage, right? Well, what about those religious people who had an issue with interracial marriage? I mean, a lot of the people who claimed to have a problem claimed it was because of some interpretation of the Bible, right? But now those religious organizations that would want to, what, discriminate based on interracial marriage? Oh, that's no longer acceptable, but you can do it on gay marriage. So I'm not buying it, but, you know, we'll take the little victories when we can.
Let's hear from Speaker Pelosi, who shepherded this through the U.S. House of Representatives. Ebon, going to need your help here. If you would, play Speaker Pelosi, cut number 20, saluting the U.S. Senate.
I want to salute the Senate for its strong bipartisan legislation under leadership of Chuck Schumer and Senator Tammy Baldwin, and the bipartisan strong support that this House gave the legislation to send it over to the Senate.
Tom, did you mention Tammy Baldwin coming around tomorrow at 4:30? Did we mention that?
I think we mentioned that.
More from Speaker Nancy Pelosi. She references the Roe v. Wade decision. Dobbs, obviously. Cut 21.
Since the Supreme Court's monstrous decision overturning Roe v. Wade, right-wing forces have set their sights on this basic personal freedom.
And she points out it's really just right-wing extremists that would hope to overturn same-sex marriage. More from Nancy. Cut 22, please.
Once signed into law, the Respect for Marriage Act will help prevent right-wing extremists from upending the lives of loving couples, traumatizing kids across the country, and turning back the clock on hard-won progress.
Right-wing extremist. I think she means you, Clarence Thomas. More from Nancy Pelosi. Ensuring full equality. Cut 23, please.
This legislation is the latest step in House Democrats' fight to win full equality for LGBTQ Americans and forge a more perfect union that our children and their children, all of our children deserve.
More from the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. Cut 24, please.
Today's vote will codify a legal reality already handed down by the Supreme Court and ensure DOMA can never again be used to justify hateful discrimination.
And I think that makes it something of a great day, according to Nancy Pelosi, played for the people, Ebon.
What a great day, isn't it? Aren't we happy to be here?
It is a great day, Dom. I mean, it's too bad that we have to see a vote in the House and a vote in the U.S. Senate to protect marriages. I mean, this is also decided law. You're right, Ron Johnson. We shouldn't have to go back and revisit this. But of course, Clarence Thomas tells us we must. We must, because the conservatives, the extremists on the court that Nancy Pelosi alluded to, they're more than willing to take another crack at it. I mean, Clarence Thomas, would he rule out interracial marriage? I mean, I know Jenny's been a bit of an embarrassment of late, Dom, but if you could go back and roll back legislation, you know, throw it out as unconstitutional in some way.
Well, he'd grandfather
get rid of the misses.
Yeah, just no more of that. I do
probably
have to say,
cheaper
though,
than a divorce.
Wisconsin Republican Congressman Brian Stile, Mike Gallagher, thank you for doing the right thing, voting for the Respect for Marriage Act.
And Scott Fitzgerald and Tom Tiffany, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, Glenn Grothman, and of course, Van Orden. He'd be right there with the rest. On the wrong side of history, once again, they find themselves down. And they're okay with that. You know, somehow they think it gives them some sort of electoral advantage. We, the people of the state of Wisconsin, are truly bigoted, they would hope, because that's the only way their votes make sense. Come back. We, the people, we, the devils, we'll be right back.
What an incredible Cinderella story. This unknown comes out of nowhere to lead the pack.
Excellent.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
You've kept up with the times. For example, you're fluent in texting.
Honey, what does IGTTSWA mean?
It means I'm going to the store, want anything.
If you can do that, you can definitely save for retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org for a quick 3-minute chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach. Get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. And it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back. Check out aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A winter weather advisory begins at 3 a.m. this morning and continues until 6 p.m. this evening. Overcast overnight with a low of 30. East winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mixed precipitation likely tomorrow, highs around 34. Chance of snow tomorrow night, 33. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Did you stand there all alone?
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join us on the phones at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I'd like to continue playing a little backyard politics here in the great state of Wisconsin. You know, they're describing the midterms. The Republicans are something of a disappointment. Underperformed once again.
You think?
Now, I would point towards their advocacies and their, you know, their candidates
and their fascism,
but they would like to lay the blame at the lack of a full-time party chair. If only they had a full-time party chair, Dom, then the Wisconsin GOP would suck less. That's their theory anyways. Lawrence Andres, reporting at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, with the Republican Party of Wisconsin poised to pick its third chairman in as many years, some of the party are proposing a solution to the turnover. Make the position paid.
What? I mean, who would want that crappy job? What, to volunteer for that? For that kind of abuse? To put yourself out there like hit? You know, signing letters and getting in trouble with the, you know, fraudulent electors?
Well, we'll talk about that with former U.S. Attorney James Santel. He takes some excitement out of the fact the Department of Justice might be doing, the Federal Department of Justice might be, you know, let's just say, investigating the false Trump electors. See the aforementioned prior head of the Republican Party, the unpaid Andrew Hitt. He did it for the love of corruption, Dom.
Right, did it because he's a true believer.
Dom, here's what U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, apparently he's the head of the Republican Party in Wisconsin. Here's what he says. I've been talking to some of the individuals and saying, I think we need a paid chairman, mainly because we need a long-term chairman. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, Wisconsin's top Republican official, told the Journal Sentinel on conversations with the state's executive committee. The Republican Party of Wisconsin is a pretty strong party. It's pretty well-functioning, Johnson said. Pretty well.
It's a disarray.
Our problem is we're such an evenly divided state, so we just need to get better. We need to improve. Yes, you do, sir. The push for a full-time paid chairman, though not new, would largely put the state GOP on par with the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, which has a paid chairman, and in recent years has had a large fundraising edge over Wisconsin Republicans. And the latest discussions follow midterm elections that saw Republicans fail to unseat Democratic Governor Tony Evers, Attorney General Josh Call, despite maintaining large majorities in both chambers. Well, that's attributable to a gerrymander. That's got nothing to do with better candidates or better ideas. We know that, Tom. Despite maintaining large majorities in both chambers of the state house and electing Johnson to a third term in the Senate, around the corner is a heated spring election for the state Supreme Court, with the ideological balance of the court in play. the soul of Wisconsin in play, I would say, Dom. In 2024, Milwaukee will host the Republican National Convention as Republicans target the U.S. Senate seat held by Democrat Tammy Baldwin. You know, we'll have her on quite a bit that year, I suspect, like we will tomorrow, Dom. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin joining us at 4:30. And the talks also come as Waukesha County Executive Paul Farrell said last month he doesn't want re-election, will not seek re-election. He's going to spend more time campaigning for his day job. Will not seek re-election to a full two-year term as party chair, a volunteer role he assumed in August of 21, as he pursues a third term as county executive. And the party's executive committee is scheduled to meet Saturday to discuss the November election results and the state party's future. Among the names floated as potential successors to Farrell are our buddy from right-wing talk radio fill-in duties, Brian Schimming, an at-large member of the party's executive committee, Jesse Garza, the third vice chair, and Ben Vogel, our buddy who was also a campaign aide to U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Proponents of moving towards a paid chair argued the shift would provide the party with consistency and continuity. The current volunteer nature of the position, they say, prevents chairmen from dedicating all their time to the work, which mainly involves fundraising, getting involved with media, traveling the state to public events, and meeting with grassroots supporters. That time commitment is particularly challenging in a perennial swing state where elections are frequently decided by just a couple of points, according to Andrew Hitt, who's under the heat lamp for being a false Trump elector, right, Dom? He's the outgoing GOP chair from 19 to 21.
Hitt said, these days in Wisconsin, the election doesn't end. Hitt, an Appleton attorney, told the Journal Sentinel, in the past, you had some time to catch up. You had a down period. But because of where Wisconsin is at and the competitive state that it is, elections never end. So there is no break anymore. Hitt, who left the job in part to spend more time with family and focus on his career at law, said the chairman post is relationship driven, noting it involves establishing connections with donors, grassroots supporters, elected officials. More turnover, Hitt said, makes deepening those relationships more difficult. The state chair has to be dialing for dollars all the time. It's not like you call someone once and they hand over a big check. It is multiple phone calls, multiple touches, emails, text messages, in-person meetings to bring those dollars in. The demands of the job, I think, are so much more now than they have been in the past. Wisconsin's GOP volunteer chair structure is at odds with that of Wisconsin Democrats, who have long had a paid chairman. Our pal Ben Wickler, who has held the post for state Democrats since 2019, makes a salary of about $198,000, according to the party. Ben,
he gets paid
the beers next time, man.
He gets paid more than the governor or Senator Ron Johnson, at least from the day jobs, if you know what I mean, Dom.
He brings in a lot of money. Mike Tate, Wisconsin Democrats leader from 09 to 15, noted the growth of the party and changes in campaign finance laws in Wisconsin allow state parties to receive, in some cases, unlimited donations, made the party chair a key position. The Democratic Party of Wisconsin is consistently one of the strongest parties of the country, Tate said. And I think there's a direct correlation between having a full-time, well-compensated party chair. Yeah, no doubt.
You see that
dial for dollars and not even get any for yourself? Are you kidding me?
Do you see the difference in the numbers, Tom? The Democratic Party, great state of Wisconsin, raised $55.3 million in its state and federal accounts compared to $22 million from Republicans. That's a big difference.
Wah, wah.
Come back with us. We are the devil's advocates. We're better. That's the difference. You can tell you're listening right now. You can be a part as well. 844-967-2789. Dialing for dollars. You can call us. Just leave a little something.
I don't feel like my time here has been particularly successful.
The best is yet to...
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Pat, I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control. Yikes! So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Shake my nerves and you rattle my brain.
The devil's advocate, sausage making, insane.
You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, taking your phone calls all the way up to our fine guest, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, and the Happier Happy Hour at 5 Central Time. And if we didn't mention it, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin taking a victory lap with the Devil's Advocates on Friday at 4:30. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to Jim in the 5 o'clock hour. And looking forward to your phone calls, 844-967-2789. Always better when you participate. But Don, we're talking about the Wisconsin Republican Party. You know, they could solve all their problems if they could just find good help out there. You know, all these lazy Wisconsinites not wanting to work full time. So anyways, I have a countering viewpoint. I find this one at the opinion pages of the Washington Post. Paul Waldman writes, the headline here, Republicans need to learn why the public keeps rejecting them.
They can't figure it out.
Dominic, when Sally Field won an Academy Award for her performance in the 1984 film Places in the Heart, she told the world, I cannot deny the fact that you like me. right now you like me. If anyone is more desperate for approval than actors, it's politicians. And today, Republicans ought to be looking at the electorate and saying, we cannot deny the fact you don't like us. Right now, you don't like us. I never really did, but I read on. Some of them will deny this, of course, but after a succession of losses, their 2018 midterm blowout, Donald Trump's failed reelection bid, a 2022 midterm disappointment, and now Herschel Walker's defeat in a Georgia runoff, Republicans might look to the past for lessons on what to do after voters have rejected you over and over. If they do, they'll see that the parties that usually react to defeat, especially multiple defeats, by coming up with something to counter whatever they decided it was that the electorate disliked about them. And when they fail to do that, they usually lose yet again. The clearest recent example was the period leading up to the 1992 election, when a group of Democrats decided that the party had become too liberal and too devoted to tax and spend policies in Washington. Some believed that without change, they might never win the White House again. Republicans had won 5 of the prior 6 presidential. The answer was sometimes called the third way, an attempt to split the difference between liberalism and conservatism, including cuts to social programs and punitive criminal justice policies. Bill Clinton, a leader of the movement, won the party's nomination, became president, later declared, "The era of big government is over," angering many liberals. But Clinton was hardly an exception. Most recent presidential candidates who turned their party's fortunes around promised a new and different version of their party. During the 2020 campaign, during the 2000 campaign, George W. Bush criticized congressional Republicans for cruelty to the poor and called himself a compassionate conservative. Knowing that the public had recoiled at the impeachment of Clinton, he said at the party's convention that year, I have no stake in the bigger, bitter arguments of the last few years. W.
Crudy, Barack Obama, too, presented himself as different from his party. He was an early opponent of the Iraq War when most Democratic leaders supported it and offered a uniquely personalized version of change. And in 2016, Trump was contemptuous of the politicians in his party, both for their milquetoast personalities and their support of the Iraq War and NAFTA. Even Joe Biden's 2020 primary victory was a response to things his party worried the electorate didn't like about it. Though on policy, Biden was the party's most liberal nominee since George McGovern, Democrats quite consciously chose him from an unusually diverse field because they believed an older, straight white man would be the most palatable to the middle of the electorate. In every case, the successful candidate presented himself as a reaction to the things the public disliked about his party. So what would a smart Republican turn away from right now? Question mark.
Oh, let's enumerate the ways, Dom.
Many of the core policy goals of the party are deeply unpopular. Let's just repeat that for a minute. So, the whole article and opinion piece, I think this kind of cuts to the core. Many of their core policies, core policy goals of the party are deeply unpopular, including its desire to outlaw abortion and give tax cuts to the wealthy. But those are unlikely to change. More than anything else, what the electorate has recoiled from is Trumpism in all of its manifestations. The voters have pretty clearly had about enough with the election denialism, the QAnon conspiracy theories, the disregard for the law, the consorting with repugnant extremist bigots, and the relentless need to start petty squabbles with anyone and everyone.
I'm not clear that they've moved on from that. I mean, really, they're still embracing. Maybe not the Paul Ryan Republican sorts, but the base, they still love him for that, Dom.
Crudy, but that's only true of the general electorate, Paul Waldman writes. Senator Mitt Romney said after the Georgia runoff, quote, "If you can get endorsed by him in the primary, you're likely to win. If you get endorsed by him in the general, you're likely to lose." That was the story of this year's midterms. And that quandary is likely to be the story of the Republican primaries in 2024. Presenting yourself as the heir to Trump who isn't Trump, as Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is doing, is likely to be a very appealing strategy for Republican primary voters. But to win in November of 2024 and take back the presidency, the Republican nominee will have to advertise how the party has turned away from Trump and resist a strong impulse to stick to the same course that won the 2016 campaign.
They will not. They're too craven for that. They're going to embrace Trump, I'm telling you.
Many Republicans want to spend the next 2 years stirring up culture war controversies and investigating Biden's family, then nominate Trump again. Right now, a portion of their base remains consumed with the idea that they would have won the 2020 election if only nude photos of Hunter Biden had been more widely distributed on Twitter. We're all tempted to react to setbacks by casting blame anywhere but on ourselves and insisting we don't need to change. But if you can't make the leap, the electorate will keep delivering the same lesson. Paul Waldman writes at the Washington Post. And ultimately, as I said, their core policy goals are deeply unpopular. People don't like them.
I take absolutely no responsibility whatsoever.
Zero.
He is inspiring to the Democratic base and the donor class. I mean, Donald Trump, he turns them out just for the wrong team. But here's my point, Dom. They have not abandoned Donald Trump. I know you're hearing more and more pushback, and I would think it was a good thing if Donald Trump took a long walk off a short, flat earth. You know what I mean? I'd be okay with that. If Donald Trump was no more, not through any act of violence, but, you know, if he was gone, I would be fine with that. But they cannot abandon this man. They want to. The Paul Ryan Republicans want to. But I'm telling you, Ron DeSantis is a poor imitation. Ron DeSantis is weak. I mean, worst kind of weak. He's like bully weak. Guess who's not bully weak? Donald Trump's a full-on bully. He's the strong kind of bully. And he's going to make mincemeat out of Ron DeSantis on the debate stage. He's going to make him cry.
What are you, come
Ron DeSantis
on,
may wet himself on stage.
Cry. I mean, you saw how President Biden handled Trump.
Biden is not DeSantis.
Shut up, man. You know what I mean? I mean, the act is getting stale, man. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, he can't come up with the nicknames. I mean, it is just
sanctimonious.
You can come back and play the tunes, man. But, you know, it's not the same. You can never go back. And people, I think, are getting sick of it, and let alone when some of these other legal headwinds come in, see what the end result of these things will be. Lots of time between now and the Republican primaries, Crudy. I mean, for a guy who claimed he is now out running for president, I don't think he's left Mar-a-Lago since. He did a phone-in with Herschel Walker. You know, so I think he's got other things on his mind these days. And I don't believe for a minute, because if there's one thing I'll tell you about what I believe about these Republicans, is when you smell the blood, they're going to just destroy him. And they will be more than happy to walk away from him when the indictments start flying.
Again, you're talking about what, the party leadership, the Andrew Hitz of the world? I mean, they were effectively willing to throw Andrew Hitt, the former Republican chair of the great state of Wisconsin, volunteer job, yet he was willing to sign off as an attorney, as a fraudulent Trump elector, effectively put his own personal freedom at risk because he's committed a crime. You know what I'm saying? And this is the guy they're going to move beyond, a guy they're willing to commit crimes that could throw their asses in jail. They will
yes,
not
because he doesn't have the ability to provide the power that he once did. And once you lose that, man, you are no longer valuable
lose?
In any
what did
way,
he lose?
Shape, or form.
What power has Trump lost?
He's not the president, man. I mean, what could he do?
So he doesn't have the pardon power.
He's not sharing with the other Republicans. I mean, you think he would give Herschel Walker some money, you know, he would have lost his battle by 100,000 votes. I mean, Donald Trump's been taking all this money, hasn't been sharing it with the party, right? So you're not going to share the money, and you don't have the power, and the shtick is stale. And you say he's a bully, so what? He just got punched in the nose rhetorically because he got, you know, what, impeached twice and thrown out of office?
No, I didn't.
He's getting grand jury subpoenas, and all these things are happening to him. His corporation's found as being a guilty, a criminal, fraudulent enterprise. I mean, and this is in the last 3 weeks since he's declared his presidency. So, I mean, if that all that happened in the last 3 weeks, can you imagine what the next 3 months are going to look like?
He owns the election cycle, Dom. Every story in the last 2 weeks since the guy declared has been about Donald Trump. And I don't mean here on this show, per se. I mean, you can say it's all bad news, man, but it's all headlines. How much you talking about Ron DeSantis lately? Since he won re-election, you talked about him at all?
What are you going to say about Ron DeSantis is facing multiple grand juries. I'm not clear Ron DeSantis had, you know, top secret documents or, you know, yada, 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 man. I mean, of course.
So in other words,
the DOJ and Fulton County, come on, you can go.
He doesn't know how to win the news cycle.
No, but does it? You think Trump feels like he's winning right now?
Yes.
Cody?
Yes,
No, absolutely not. The guy does not believe he is winning. Otherwise, why would he be freaking out on the Truthy Socials talking about terminating the Constitution? That is not a coming from a position of strength or leadership. That is fear and weakness, man. And no one around him giving him a filter. That's what that is.
Okay,
he's got no allies
that
are paid.
You still have not presented a palatable alternative to the Republican base. Because it doesn't matter what guys like you and I think. It only matters what the Republican base is willing to vote for. And if they have not demonstrated their cravenness to you yet, Salvia, I don't know what you've been paying attention to, man. Because we knew about the Access Hollywood video, the statements, the confessional video to Billy Bush. They knew before they ever elected the guy in the first place. And you could say, oh, well, these crime things are new. No, he's lived through two impeachments. He's lived through Russia, 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 and every other thing. As far as the base is concerned, the Republican base, those that will vote in the Republican primary, they see this as a win for him. Because, of course, if he wasn't powerful, Dom, if he wasn't making a difference, why would they persecute him so? It just depends on your matter, your point of view. To his base, he's winning.
It's not a matter of point of view, man. I mean, you know, either Trump is being investigated for crimes, either he is or he isn't.
His whole adult life.
The payroll company is a fraudulent business or they're not.
Speeding
right?
ticket, $1.6 million relative to a multi-hundred million dollar company per year.
I get it. It's still $1 million and cracks open the door for Alvin Bragg, your buddy, to go do more things. But these things, you can have an opinion. You might think he's being persecuted, but a jury looked at the facts and said, your organization is corrupt, guilty on all charges. Both corporations, 17 of them. And it's just getting started, man.
And that will not affect more than a dozen Republican voters nationwide. The outcome in the criminal trial against the Trump board, that did not change a single Republican voter's mind. And it doesn't need to, Dom. I don't know why you're so working against me on this one. We should build this man up. He is the perfect nominee for the Republican Party. He's craven like you. He's not...
What?
He's not moored with any sort of morals. And he's the perfect candidate for the Republican Party for 2024. I think we should cheer for him, Dom. I think you got it all wrong, man. Come back. Devil's Advocates. Phone lines open. 844-96-PARTY. It's always a political party up in here.
In our world, you were either a bully, a toady, or one of the nameless rabble of victims.
Bully! Bully! Yes, bully!
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a while, Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a while, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Thank you.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A winter weather advisory begins at 3 a.m. this morning and continues until 6 p.m. this evening. 30 overnight, under cloudy skies, east winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy again tomorrow, mixed precipitation likely 34. Chance of snow tomorrow night 33. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
Sixty percent of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open before James Santel joins us at the top of the hour at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, the Washington Post reporting at this hour, basketball player Brittany Griner is on a plane to the U.S. after her release in a prisoner swap. I know we want to talk about this a little bit later, Dom, but let's start this topic. I think it was a bad trade.
What, Victor Bout, the Merchant of Death?
Well,
traded for NBA star and Olympic athlete Brittany Griner.
The U.S. should have gotten at least a couple of first-round draft picks and a small forward out of the deal, Dom.
Nice.
I mean, Russia got all the value here. They got the Merchant of Death. You don't think that guy's feared in the paint? You don't call him the Merchant of Death for nothing, Dom. Strange deal. I mean, I think it's a strange deal. I feel like a U.S. citizen was effectively kidnapped. Now, her own actions, obviously she's been accused, alleged, and convicted in a Russian court of carrying hemp oil.
Freaking weed, are you kidding me? Like, I went and got from Detroit, you can get in Chicago, but not here in Wisconsin. We're very Russia like that.
Well, she was convicted to 9 years in prison, Dom. And obviously, Joe Biden, the Biden administration, wanted this American citizen back. Now, there are still Americans being held by the Russians. Paul Whelan, a former U.S. Marine, is still in Russia. He's being accused of being a spy. And the Merchant of Death, the Russian person, let's just call him person, the butcher, or pardon me, the Merchant of Death, well, he's got something of a reputation, Dom. You know what I'm saying? And to trade a U.S. citizen for a known arms dealer, it just seems like we have given too much value in exchange. This guy's a murderer. She's a WNBA player. Just because she has some notoriety, you know, minor celebrity, I guess, somehow that makes it an equal trade. And I know I'm kind of being smartass, but I don't feel like we exchanged equal value in this deal. It seems like the Biden administration, I realize we're talking about somebody's life, somebody sitting in jail, but she was there through her own actions. You know what I mean? She walked into Russia with a vape pen.
Less than a gram of a vape cartridge gets you 9 years? No, I don't think she would have done that if she thought she'd get 9 years in a Russian prison. I don't think so. And I think
she wouldn't have done it if she thought she was going to get caught, Dom.
Come on, Crudy. Vape cartridges. You ever have one? Are you kidding me? 9 years? I mean, this Russian government is out of freaking control. And this is exactly what a lot of these Republicans love. Like the state of Wisconsin, you can't get legal weed here. And I guarantee you some of them would think, oh, you know, the devil's lettuce. If that would be the case, I wish you could put those potheads in jail for 9 years. No, it's not acceptable in any way, shape, or form. She did it, sure. So did I. Doesn't mean it's right to be illegal. It doesn't mean that your government should do everything they can to get you out. And of course, they're going to play the hand the Russians are. So American citizens, obviously, be warned, be wary, certainly. Certainly, especially if you're going to those authoritarian type countries. How about this? Don't go. Spend your money somewhere else. And I get it. She was playing ball, trying to earn a living. I can certainly appreciate that. But that's the risk you take. I bet she won't do that again. Is the European League still in Russia? Is that still a thing? I think all those things should be revisited, certainly. But to think that your government shouldn't do everything they can to get me out, get you out, get Griner out, get whoever out, because of less than a gram of a freaking vape, that's an embarrassment. It's terrible.
Dominic, the latest, this being reported within the hour from the Washington Post, WNBA star Brittany Griner has been released from Russian detention and is on her way back to the United States. President Biden announced today Moscow released the athlete in a swap for a convicted Russian arms dealer, Viktor Bout, according to two senior administration officials and a separate statement from Russia's foreign ministry. Biden approved of the release of Bout more than a decade after his conviction, commuting his 25-year prison sentence. Griner has been in Russian custody since her arrest at an airport near Moscow in February, where she was accused of entering the country with an illegal vape cartridge containing, as Don pointed out, less than a gram of cannabis oil. Her lawyer said it was prescribed as part of her treatment for chronic pain and other conditions. The United States designated her detention wrongful and then gave up the merchant of death in fair trade.
What would you have done, Curtis? If you're President Biden, here's your choice. You can take, you know, give us the merchant of death back. We'll give you your ball player, or no deal.
I would have at least sought the exchange of Paul Whelan. I wanted two for one.
Of course they saw it, but that was the end of the deal. That's
then I wouldn't have made the deal, Dom.
Okay, well, there you go, man. And that's why you're not the president. You would rather have this American citizen illegally, wrongly incarcerated, as they put it, right? A wrongful detention. Well, hell, they broke the law, right? You'd rather do that. I mean, it's worth it to you to let her sweat in a jail for 9 years.
I didn't say for 9 years.
Give up a guy who's got 25 years on his sentence.
What she's been in a Russian jail for a matter of weeks. And I'm sorry, but again, specifically, she exposed herself to this imprisonment. You could say, well, but it's only weed, it's only whatever. She went behind the iron curtain with weed.
Does that matter, Crudy? Does that matter to you? It doesn't matter to the Russians, right? You're given what I think the point here is, they're going to find any way to try to game the system and make a scene out of it. That's how they roll, and that's what they did.
And
did
we played more, into more their out game. Of
it? Maybe. I mean, I don't know. This guy's been in jail for what? About, it's been, I guess he's been
10 years.
10 years ago. I mean, that's a pretty good stint for being an arms dealer named the Merchant of Death. I mean, I don't read the story. I don't know if he's physically himself murdered people, but, you know, arms dealers, you sell arms, people die because of arms. I mean, that's kind of how the industry works.
Or we exchange the Merchant of Death for a WNBA player because there's been notoriety and pressure on the administration. But I do not feel like that is an equal exchange of value. I'm sorry. I don't see a convicted murderer as a fair exchange for a detained NBA player, WNBA player, wrongful or otherwise. There's lots of wrongfully detained people in the great old United States of America for a lot longer than a couple
or 50
of weeks.
Across the country as well. Yeah, no doubt about it, man. And if it was up for Republicans, then you know more people would be in jail for weed, which is wrong.
But it's on the books. And I got to think, when you enter a foreign country, dude, you got to live by the rule of the road, man. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. I got to tell you, I wouldn't have signed up for my stent playing in Russia if I was a pothead. If I needed that for chronic medical pain, guess what? I ain't playing in Russia because I'm not flying it in. Because you know what the outcome could be? 9 years imprisonment. You know, they're in an active war in Ukraine. Wasn't a great time to sign the contract. I'm just saying. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. More fine guests. James Santel, former U.S. attorney. The Happier Happy Hour. It commences right now.
I got a pretty good dang old idea what's going on. I tell you what, man.
I don't know what we're yelling about.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.